I like to have a lot of fun, so you're not going to get a boring preacher. Not that there has been any boring preachers here already. does anybody fish, by the way? I'm just curious. You're all beautiful people, by the way. I just want to let you know. Word gets around, too. My name is Matthew York. I am the pastor of Faith Alliance Church in Glenmore, Pennsylvania. It is way on the eastern side of the state. Do not hold that against me. I realize there are dividing lines between eastern Pennsylvania and western Pennsylvania. So I am glad to be here. I am humbled to be here, and it's a pleasure to bring you God's word. If you get a chance, come talk to me. I would love to tell you how I made the transition from being a UPS guy to being a pastor and a firefighter and all that kind of stuff. So, Keith, this thing doesn't like me, and I'm not sure why. You may have to be my slide guy for the night. So if you could possibly go to just go to the next slide for me. Are you able to control it? Great. There's probably no clicker for me. Am I able to do that or not? I thought I could do it. I can't. Well, he's working on that. Have you ever played this game? Somebody who was at one location is no longer there, and then what you do is, by the way, I'm going to be up and down off this stage all week, by the way. So what you'll do, someone else who was here goes somewhere else, and you will go here, and you will begin to count. One, two, three, and you count to 30, right, and you say what? Ready or not, here I come. What game am I playing? Hide and go seek. Who here loves a good game of hide and go? Who here has grandchildren and multiple grandchildren, by the way? Is that working for me? Great. I don't want to get too close to the monitor. That thing is going to go nuts. Great. It is a wonderful game that you can play. And believe it or not, I want to share. Is this the right? Which way is the right? Wow, this thing looks like the Enterprise. This thing is great. This is great. Oh, sorry. ADD, too. You guys didn't know. They didn't tell you. Sorry. Okay. Let's get in. And believe it or not, God is really good at hide and go seek. And we're going to see through the life of David that that is the truth and is going to be the truth all through his life. I chose this series because David is an unlikely hero in the Bible. He is a shepherd. He's a giant slayer. You all know that. But he's also an adulterer. He's a murderer. He's got messed up kids. Like, the list goes on. David doesn't necessarily belong where maybe we put him. And the reality is if somebody had that resume in here, many of us probably would not think that they were fit for ministry. But God saw this man as a man after his own heart. And we're going to see how this man can be used. And if he can use David, just think what he can do with you too. But we'll get there. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Anyway, let's take a look at this. Let's take a look. If you have your Bible, I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Sam chapter 13. I have the text up here. I'm always kind of flattered by the sound of turning pages, so if you have a paper copy Bible, that's wonderful. If you have it on your iPad or your phone, you can follow along, but I will always have it up on the screen as well. Let's get into it. The Philistines assembled to fight Israel. By the way, this is 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting in verse 5. With 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash and at Beth Aven. When the Israelites saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and in the pits and in the cisterns. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he had finished making up the offering, Samuel arrived and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw that the other men were scattering and you did not come and set the time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. You have done a foolish thing, Samuel said. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. So if we're going to talk about David, we have to start here. David has a long storied history, but it starts here, and Israel's in a bad place. There's war on the forefront. There's fear. People are quaking. Did you catch that? They're quaking in their boots. That's kind of what's going on. It says they're literally shaking with fear. That's what's going on. And there's a whole lot of disobedience going on. This is kind of the backdrop that we find the story of David. If you look here, it's going to say that the Philistines went to fight them, and there's 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand. It's a bad situation. And you look even further, it says that they're hiding in caves. Look at the bottom there. They're hiding in caves and thickets and rocks and pits and cisterns. Like, this is not exactly their strongest moment, by the way. They're quaking in fear. And then, I love this. What have you done? Samuel, by the way, if you don't know, Samuel was a prophet of Israel in that time, and him and Saul weren't exactly on the best terms. And so he comes, what have you done? What have you done? He says, when I saw that the men were scattered, I love this. He said, I thought, and Samuel's like, you thought? You thought, that was your first problem. You said, like, what are you thinking about? You knew what you were supposed to do and you didn't do it. And that's where we are. Saul was a reluctant king of Israel. He had a habit of disobedience. He had a hardened heart. So God does something amazing here. So he's got Saul, this unequipped leader who's all over the place, and he's there quaking in fear. He's in a whole bunch of disobedience. And so God does something. Take a look at verse 14. But now your kingdom will not endure, for the Lord has sought out. Isn't that great? God's pretty good at playing hide and seek. I don't know if you know this. Like, he's really good at this game. Because he looks over the landscape, right? And here, he looks all over, and there he has already, before he even, we don't even know who David is. Like, if you're reading this as a normal book, he says, there's somebody already, I already, you're it. Like, he knows who it's going to be. He looked over the horizon and looked into the future, because God sits outside of time, and was able to call David to himself. For he has sought out a man after his own heart. This is, I think, my thing. I want to show you this here. This is a map of where we are. Gilgal is right there. If you notice, you can kind of see the land of Judah down here. The Dead Sea is, we're right here at the top of the Dead Sea. Jerusalem's right in that blue and right there in the tribe of Benjamin, but this is Bethlehem. So where Saul is, where Samuel and Saul are having this conversation, and to where David is in a field, but we don't even know where he is. He's in Bethlehem. This is 40-something miles. In fact, oh, wrong slide. That's my church. I put a good slide in here. I thought I had a good slide. I don't have it. I put Oil City in here, believe it or not. The reality is, if you were to leave, if God was here at Edinburgh Camp, and he looked over the horizon, he sees somebody in Oil City. And he knows exactly that that's the man who was called to lead the next generation. That's the God who seeks. That's the God who looks. And that is the God who is always scouring the landscape, looking for people and individuals who will turn their heart to him. He is always on the lookout. He's really good at this game. I don't know if you know this or not. He is so good at this. And his desire is that we begin to understand something about the God who seeks this morning. By the way, as God looks at the landscape of Western PA, of whoever, I know this is being recorded, I guess, somehow, right? Are you recording this? Or whoever listens to this message generations from now, I don't know. But as God looks over the landscape, He is searching. He is actively searching for hearts that are turned towards His. Just my question, because I always ask questions, you're going to see these question marks every night, is what will God find as He looks over the landscape here tonight? Because guess what? He doesn't have to look very far in this moment. There's a room of all these individuals, and He's looking for hearts that are after His. He looked at Saul and says, that's not my guy. He saw David in a field with sheep and said, that's the guy that I need. And so I want you to understand something. Since then, the landscape has changed. Christ has come, and there's a new covenant with His people. But there's one thing that has not changed since Christ has come. God is still searching, still looking. God is still playing seeking. He doesn't play hiding. He plays the seeking part. The problem is we're so really good at hiding, we try to run away from who God has called us to be. Nothing has changed in God's heart as He looks over the landscape. He is still a God who seeks. And He's seeking in this room right now for hearts that are turned towards Him. That's His desire. That's His heartbeat. And it never changes. And so what will He find? What will He find? Well, my desire is that we understand that David had something right in his heart before we're ever even introduced to him. And I want us to take a look at some of those things. So if you have your Bible, also maybe put a finger in it, turn to Ephesians. You don't have to. I'll read this out loud. I want you to see this. The Apostle Paul writes this: I pray that out of His glorious riches that He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit, that in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. If you take a look at that right there, in your inner being, anybody want to take a guess the idea from a Hebrew perspective where your inner being is? It's your heart. Your inner, the innermost person of who you are, from a Hebrew understanding, was the heart. As David was a man who sought out a man who was after his own heart, he saw well deep into the heart of David and saw what was ahead of him as he scoured the landscape. And so this is still true, that Paul's desire, that in our innermost being, we would be people who desire God and love God and just stop at nothing to proclaim Him and understand Him and get to know Him. Hearts like David. And the great news about it is both of these men have their issues. Saul had his issues and David has his issues. There are no perfect Christians. If you're a perfect Christian, I want you to raise your hand here today. Just show hands. This is a great time for you to like brag here. This is it. Like, if you were a perfect Christian, let me see that hand. This is great. Well, my hand's down. There are none. But yet God saw through the layers of David's disobedience, through the layers of David's fall, the layers of David's sin, and still saw a heart that was completely dedicated and devoted to Him. And this is the God who seeks. This is the God who looks and scours the landscapes that are heart for a heart that is searching. God is searching. What will He find? What will He find in Edinburgh? What will He find in Western PA? What will He find in Ukraine? What will He find in Russia? What will He find in as He scours the landscapes of this world? And what will He find right here in this room? That's a great question. I have a couple things. I hope I can answer it. The first thing I desire, that I believe God wants to see, is faithfulness. Number one, as God is looking over the horizon, as God is looking out, what is He looking for? He's the God who seeks, but what is He seeking for? Well, first thing, faithfulness. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops were quaking with fear, right? So here's David, or here's Saul, and here's all his guys, and they're literally like, has anybody ever quaked with fear? Anybody? Listen, yo, I'm going to be real. Tab just took me up on that Skywalk Bridge thing y'all got out here. What is it called? Kinzua? What? What's the deal? They put a glass thing on the floor! Like, we walked up this, like, you are, like, halfway to the moon. Like, you are going up this thing, and literally, like, the trees are being like, what are you doing up there? Like, it is crazy! And I'm up there going, like, and the kids are jumping, like, they're going to the edge, like, I'm like, do you just get down? Like, I am losing it! Right? That's quaking with fear, by the way. If you've been on, like, do not, if you're scared of heights, do not go on that bridge. Right? But if you're one of those thrill seekers, you just have your day, man. And, like, I sat down to have, like, a bench so you can sit and reflect, and the kids are shaking the bench. I lost it. I rolled up. I'm done. I'm leaving. All of you. Behind. I'm headed to Edinburgh. See you later. It was a nightmare. But you can kind of fill in the blanks. Here is Saul and his troops. These are mighty men of Israel. And they're shaking in their boots. They're looking. They're counting. They're counting the people. And by the way, their enemy is measured with non-standard men. Did you catch the measurement? Right? Like, that's your measurement! Like, the Bible records that they used a non-standard measurement to measure all the army. It was as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Like, I would be a little afraid, too. We got a little scientific here, a little non-standard. Anyway, moving on. Oh, my gosh! Saul's looking at the situation from a logical standpoint and a strategical standpoint. The problem is that he never looked at it from a spiritual standpoint. He's counting, here's how many people are here, here's how many people I have, and yet God is looking over the horizon, and his desire for Saul is to see that there is something so much greater, more greater than the numbers. And that is a God that can do amazing things. Faithfulness. God is looking for faithfulness, that I'm gonna put it all on the table for God, that I'm giving it all to you. Saul offered up the burnt offering, and just as he has finished offering Samuel, talk about, like, horrible timing. I don't know, like, if you read the Bible, like, I read the timing, like, it says, like, he had just finished it, and he's like, whatever, he's putting it on the altar, whatever he's doing, and here comes, he's like, oh, you're here. Like, it's this awkward moment where Saul is doing what he shouldn't have been doing, because he panics. Why is it that when the you-know-what hits the fan, that the first thing to go out the window is our faith? The first, like, Saul, like, come on, like, things got tough, and he starts counting, and he sees that it's not good, and all of a sudden, he throws his faith out the window, when that should be the last thing to go. Like, your strategy should have gone. Your standpoint should have gone. Your faith should have been rock solid. And so the hard part here is, as God looks over the horizon, what is God seeking? He's seeking faithfulness. That you are going to hold on to me as long as I hold on to you, and by the way, I'm not letting go. Like, this is what God desires, and as he looks over the landscape, he's seeking faithfulness. Faithfulness. And this is what he gets when Saul arrives. You're here. Yeah, I'm here. This was not a timing issue. This was a trust issue. He had the logic, he had the strategic, but he didn't have the spiritual. And so often that's the case for us. We'll think about our situations. You'll think about what you're going through. Whatever it is that you're going, whatever right now is causing you to do this, right? Right now, you're thinking it from a logistical standpoint, you're thinking from a strategic standpoint, you're thinking from a realistic standpoint, but when's the last time that you put that situation before God and said, this is a spiritual situation? And this is where Saul fell apart. God was seeking a heart that was faithful to him as he is to his people, never failing, never ending. How many people have ever been to Yellowstone? Where are my Yellowstone people? Who are my national parks folks? Yellowstone. There's an amazing thing out at Yellowstone. There's a geyser out there. What's it called? Old Faithful, right? I took a screenshot of Old Faithful. I was limited by some of my technology here because we don't have Wi-Fi. I was going to give you the live. They have a live feed that you can see right now. I didn't have the Wi-Fi, so right before I came here, I got a photo, which is not there. There's not a photo there. I don't know what I did. Keith, this is me. This is not you. It's not you. It's me, bro. That's what happened before I got married. There was a girl who used to tell me, it's not you, it's me. That's what used to. Anyway, I took a photo, but you're going to have to trust me on this one. I took a photo of Old Faithful. Guess what? It was not doing a single thing. Who here saw the geyser go? Am I here? Were you there? Did you get there and it wasn't going? You were there and it was just going off already? Wow, talk about timing. Great. So you got there and it was not going. Waste of time, right? By the way, did it finally go? You betcha. No matter when you arrive at Old Faithful in Yellowstone, it doesn't matter if it's doing nothing or it's doing something grand. The reality is it will eventually erupt. Every 62, 66 minutes it goes off. Every single time, no fail, it will erupt. You wait long enough and it will go. The reality is your God will come through. Every time, no matter what. The problem is when the going gets tough, we get gone. My desire is God would find hearts that are just as equally faithful as he is. That no matter how hard things get, I will show up and I will be there. Just like Old Faithful. It's this great geyser. If you haven't gone, it's gorgeous and it will erupt. And the reality is that we as Christians are called to remain just as steadfast. No matter how grim the situation looks, no matter how bad your marriage is, no matter how difficult, how far away your kids are, the list will go on what you can inject into the situation. And the reality is that the faithfulness of God will cover it, and we're called to be just as faithful in these times. So no matter what you walked in these doors with, the reality is there's a faithful God that is faithful to you. We're called to be found faithful to him, and that is what he is seeking tonight, faithfulness. Let's go to point two. What he's seeking are hearts that are turned towards him. I love the fact that we're introduced to David well before he ever has a physical description in the Bible. We don't even know what David looks like. We don't know what he sounds like. We don't know anything about him. He's about 10 years old at this time, in a field in Bethlehem, and God says, this is my guy. Why? Because he's a man who is after my own heart. I love the fact that God is scouring. And by the way, for our people out there with kids and our kids ministry folks out there, God looks out over the landscape and he finds a 10-year-old boy. How many times do we just overlook our children? God says, no, no, no. Rich is already gone. By the way, it must be nice to have a college. Anyway, that's a NIAC joke, by the way. We'll get into that. Anyway, the reality is that our children are so important and that God is scouring the landscapes and he maximizes the value on our children. Isn't that awesome? He sees a 10-year-old boy. He says, of all the people in Israel, that's my guy. A 10-year-old boy. The rest are quaking with fear, but this is my guy. Awesome stuff. Sorry. David and Saul we're going to see, as we go through the course of the next 7 days, 6 days, as we go through this, the issues of David are going to come clearer and clearer, and he is going to wrestle with some big ones. As we get to Saturday and Sunday, the cat's going to be out of the bag, Bathsheba is going to be here, it's going to be a royal train wreck. But the truth is, God still saw a heart that was turned towards him. And no matter how messy it got, there was a heart that was malleable and pliable. And this was the difference between Saul and David. Saul, hard rock, cold heart, right? Couldn't change. David, cold on his sin, falls on his face before Nathan and says, I have sinned. He falls down and grieves and repents right there. There's a difference between the two hearts. David, or if God says, Saul, you're not it. David, you're the guy with your failures, with your faults and your cracks. You're the one. David writes these types of psalms. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. This is the kind of heart that David has. And God saw it well before he ever wrote these words. There's a verse in Ezekiel. I just broke the stage, but we're going to work on it. All right. So there's a verse in Ezekiel that you'll know of. It says this: "Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back the lands of Israel again. They will return to it and remove all the vile images and detestable idols, and I will give them an undivided heart to put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them the hearts of stone and give them a heart of what? Flesh." Awesome stuff. So, by the way, this is a licensed and merchandisable Edinburgh rock right here, by the way. I found this behind my cabin. So, I just need some volunteers here. That's just random people. Can you give me a description of this real quick? Just give me one word.
Nasty.
Nasty. Ooh, I like that. Give me a word here. Give me a description of this rock. Here, touch it. Feel it.
Hard.
Hard. Ooh, good, 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 good. Anybody else? Anybody else see? Let's give you some descriptions of this rock. Maybe the boat. Maybe it might be. I don't know. Anyway, what do we got here? Oh, what was that? Blacktop? Yeah, there we go. We'll take that. So, by the way, it's heavy. It's cold. It's hard. It's ugly. It's nasty, right? It's nasty, right? Like, this is a stone here, by the way. This is a stone. I gotta get back up on the stage. But, like, this is a stone. By the way, even though, by the way, you can buy this at the gift shop, by the way, for $27.99, by the way. All profits go to the... By the way, bro, is the water not potable? Whoa, like, you didn't tell me this? Dude, I drank, like, a gallon already. Okay? Like, you could have told me that, like, you had a water problem, like... Now, welcome to Western PA! Oh, my gosh! Anyway, sorry, I digress. All proceeds of buying this rock will go towards the water, go towards the water issue. This is what God says I will use to make something beautiful. This ugly, hideous, deformed, nasty rock is all God needs to turn it into something that's beautiful, lovely, a heart made of flesh that cares and loves and is warm and is giving and caring. There's a big difference between a heart of stone and a heart of flesh. You see, Saul's heart was unmovable. David's heart was pliable. And there's a huge difference between the two. The reality is, as God looks over the land, as he seeks over the landscape, he is looking for not this, by the way, but this. A heart that is turned towards him. The problem is so often we get so wrapped up into everything that our heart ends up looking like this. And all the great adjectives that we use to describe that rock are not how we describe ourselves. Or excuse me, let me repeat that. The adjectives that we use to describe the rock is not the way that God desires we be described. For I will take that and I will turn into something great. Listen, we serve a God who says, if you come to me and bring me the things that cause you to be burdensome, weary, and heavy, if you take my yoke upon you, I will take that disaster from you and I will give you what? Peace, rest. Like, you guys ever, like, I know you guys work hard here in Western PA, but, like, do you ever get to the end of your day and you're like, have you ever gotten to that point of the day where you're just sitting there, you're like you kick off, the puppies are, the dogs are barking, you know what I mean? Like, you are there. That's rest. That. You see, that's what Jesus said. If you come to me, I will transform. There's a transaction involved. You give me this, I give you that. The reality is, we give God this rock, and he turns it into something beautiful. So I got great news for you this evening. If you, I'm going to get my steps in today, but like, if you have a heart that is ugly, bitter, or angry here today, if you have something against somebody else, if you identify with this rock right here, the reality is God can do an amazing work with that. And all you got to do is say, it's yours. I want it changed. I don't want this anymore. I know you want something better. So this is where we find. So the first thing that as God looks over the landscape, he wants faithfulness. As God scours the landscape, he does not want this. He wants this. That's point number two. Final point. Tag, you're it. Take a look. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and has appointed him a ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Saul, we're going to say goodbye to Saul. He is going to exit stage left. We will no longer have him. The reality is God is going to tag in David. And David will become one of the greatest rulers Israel has ever seen because he has a heart that is devoted to God. And David is going to share that heart with all the world. One of the reasons why David is one of the greatest kings of Israel is because we can see his heart on display. He wrote some beautiful psalms. He did some amazing things. We're going to see the giant killer. We're going to see the poet in action. But the reality is that he was a person who God was going to use in mighty ways. He is going to be the ruler of Israel, and God is going to use him in such a profound way. God knew that was all in store for David. All he had in store for David, he had already appointed him all those days. He put David in there for a specific reason and a specific purpose and a specific season so that he can do amazing things. This evening, we are in this strategic place where God has put us. Where he wants to begin to seek over the landscape and begin to say, now you are it. You are my vessel that will carry the good news. You are my vessel that will extend my love. You will be that will be a heart that will be on display for all to see. That your marriage or your life will be that which will be used to glorify me all my days. It's our turn. Where it. David's time has come and gone. God sought over the landscape, and if you read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, you'll get the full story. The unfiltered, warts and all, you get David's story. And today, we get a chance. We're it. God has tagged us. Where we are now the generation that will share the good news. By the way, you are only here because somebody told you about Jesus at some point in your life. If you never heard about Jesus in this room, do not leave this room until you understand. There are a bunch of people that would love to share with you the good news of Christ. But you are only here, most of you, I would say, are only here because somebody at some point along the way, whether it was your mom or a neighbor or whoever, told you about the good news and the saving grace of Jesus. I was a UPS driver. That was my job. I used to gently handle boxes. I used to gently put boxes onto belts. That's what I used to do. I was in a fatality accident with UPS. I was making a left-hand turn, and a motorcyclist tried to go around me. We collided. He died. He was 19 years old. 2 days before that, this lady right here, who is now my wife, gave me a Bible. I remember going through remember Borders bookstores? That was the thing. I remember walking through Borders, and I pulled an NIV. I didn't know there was such a thing existed, right, off the shelf. And I said, well, I can understand this. I said, these are the words of Jesus? She goes, are they red? I said, yeah. She goes, those are the words of Jesus. She wrote in the Bible, it says, presented to Matthew York, May 1st, 2005. May 3rd, 2 days later, was the day of my accident. I never saw it as a coincidence. And my life was changed for Christ because one young lady decided just to write in a Bible. Read this. This morning, you are it for the next generation. David's gone. But the God who seeks is still out there. And he is still seeking hearts that will be faithful. He's seeking hearts that are malleable. And he is desiring that you are the person to carry that good news to the next generation. So the reality is that we get a chance tonight to say, ready or not, here I come. Because that's what we're going to do. So if you ever played the game of tag, at some point you got to go out and look. You got to go out and go. But the point is, if the person seeking stays right here, the game's pretty boring. But the reality is there's a whole room of people. By the way, Jesus did this with 12. I'm counting like 200 here, right? So the reality is that the potential in this room for the gospel impact is huge. And guess what? I want us to be people who say, ready or not, here we come. Because God is seeking the hearts in your neighborhood, in your place of business, in your church, in your youth ministry, whatever it might be. And I can guarantee you there's somebody on that list in your mind that you would love to see them be more faithful. Maybe it's you. To have a heart that is now no longer looking like this, have a heart that is looking more like Jesus's. And it's our time and our desire to go from this moment. We're going to meet David tomorrow. We're going to actually talk about David. But before we even talk about David, we have to talk about the God who sought out David. And that same God is here among us tonight. And it's desiring to equip you with either all the things that we've already talked about or to send you to tell others about the things God is seeking. And so what are we going to do with that? So the worship team would come up. You can shut that down, Keith. I'm going to be done with that. But my desire is that we begin to pray. So we have an opportunity tonight to do a couple things. Maybe tonight something has resonated with you, and I don't know what that is. Maybe you desire something different. Maybe you desire to be more faithful. Maybe you desire to have a different heart. Or maybe there's somebody in your world right now or in your sphere that you would love to have them know the saving grace of Jesus. And the truth is God is seeking after them just as much as he sought after you. And so my desire is maybe that's you today. Let's spend some time before going for the Lord, before going for the Holy Spirit and asking him to do this amazing work. Maybe you need to find rest here today. There's a God who does an amazing thing today when we give him this transaction. You're not going to find a better one, by the way. I give you my junk, you give me peace. That sounds amazing. Maybe that's you tonight, too. I've thrown a lot at you tonight. And I apologize. I talk really fast, and I'm like super hyper. But my desire for God to do an amazing work in this room is where my heartbeat truly lies. And so let's go before that God. If there is something where you want to come up as the worship team plays their final song, you are welcome to come up. There's a whole room of pastors that would love to come up and pray with you. And so if that is something that you want prayer, come up. Let's go before the God who seeks, because he's seeking that heart right now. If you want to stay where you're at and just pray silently, that's up to you. If you want to come see me afterwards, you can do that too. So there's a God who seeks today. And he wants to see you in a place of faithfulness, in a place with a heart that is malleable, and he wants to send you and equip you to change the world. This is what he wants to do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this night, and we thank you for this service. And I ask that you would bless it. I pray that you would sanctify this time. Lord, there is a room full of individuals that you can do a mighty work, and I ask that you would do just that. And if it's your desire, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come so heavily and so mightily over this time that we would see just your hand at work in mighty ways. There are hearts that need changing here. There are people that would love to have the faith that moves mountains, but we just can't see it yet, or we can't hold on to it yet. Maybe we're like Saul. We just want to give up, and we're quaking in our boots. And we want to go before a God who wants to do an amazing work. And maybe there are some of us who have that coworker, and the time is now for us to share the good news of Jesus with them. Lord, you can do whatever you want with this time. May you use it for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks. You and send you and equip you in all he is and all that he is through you. And so as you leave here tonight, go knowing that there is a God who is actively seeking your heart tonight and wants to use it for the glory of the kingdom, both here and across the entire globe. You are dismissed. Go in peace.